Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another fantastic indie creator interview. It's your Caper Sarah Cody, and we're keeping it geekly with our returning guest, Jeff Schiller. We're here to break down Magic Powder issues 1-4 and everything in between. Welcome back to the stream, Jeff. How have you been since you last been on, man?
Pretty good. You know, obviously the comic stuff's going pretty well, and you know, can't complain. The Knicks are in the playoffs still for at least another day, and the Yankees just whooped the crap out of the A's for 3 days. That's been pretty good.
I've seen a lot of tweets late at night of you just killing it in MLB. I didn't know that you were such a slugger on those video games, man.
I mean, to be fair, I play MLB like offline, so I'm just playing against the computer. But, you know, it's pretty easy to, like, I don't know. I know a lot of people do have trouble hitting and stuff, but as long as you know how to, like, not swing at, you know, bad pitches, it's easy to hit homers all day. It's just fun. It's just a fun little game. Like, that game's just my, like, chill game, you know. You could just pause it, get on Twitter for a second, unpause it. It's just like, you know, it's not a game I have to, like, really focus on.
And, you know, it's nice, too, because you're not worried about, like, ducking from fire or you know, having to level up your character. It's just hitting a ball and trying to, like, beat the crap out of the other team.
That's actually not 100% true, because you do level up the cards and stuff. Like Derek Jeter, like, I think I have him, like, a 4 out of 5. Like, you can get him up to level 5. Like, I used a Didi Gregorius card, and I got him to, like, level 4. And out of the whole game, I was the 6th person to ever get him that far, I guess, because no one's really using that card. So, gotta love Didi.
I have no idea what any of that meant. It sounded really impressive, though. I'm going to be So, yeah, I mean, exactly. Let's get back to comics, though. I mean, last time we had you on was to break down The Last of Us, HBO series, which was that was one hell of a chat. But since then, you had another Kickstarter, which was successfully funded, where you did volume one, issues 1-3 with the Thez Report. Give us a little bit about how that went for you and how fulfillment went.
Volume one was basically, the idea was I found out I could do simple export rate with pirate ship. So if anyone doesn't know about that and you're in America, that's the best foreign shipping I've found so far. So I figured I would do like a collected trade paperback and, you know, offer worldwide shipping. So that went pretty well. It was like a couple, what was it, like 150 back or something like that. It wasn't nothing crazy, but you know, it did really well. I think we did 300% of the goal at that time.
Wow.
Which is pretty low, because it was just like, it wasn't to, you know, pay anyone but the printing and the shipping. So it wasn't like we had to pay artists or anything.
300% still sounded really impressive, though.
No, it was cool. Yeah, like we hit the goal, and then we kept going. We got a stretch goal. Like, everyone got free stickers and stuff like that. It was fun. You know, there are actually 2 free stickers if you were early enough, that kind of thing. Those stickers are actually available now on the Magic Powder issue 4 thing. But yeah, it was basically just an idea to get, you know, more people into Magic Powder while we waited for issue 4 to be ready. And I didn't want to kickstart issue 4 until it was done this time. Kind of like how you said with fulfillment. So volume one was already done. So the second I got the money from Kickstarter, which is usually 2 weeks after the campaign, they unlock the funds. Mm-hmm. And then I just, you know, went over to Comics Wellspring, ordered the comics. They did it, you know, within 10 days, I had all my comics and stuff. All the stickers were done. I get the stickers from Vinyl Disorder. And then, you know, I get my Gemini mailers from Gemini Supply. And that's pretty much it. You know, was it like BCW, I think, is the boards and bags. So I get those and, you know, just ship everything. So now with issue 4, like I said, it's already done. So 2 weeks after this campaign's over, we should be printing.
So, I mean, was it like just a smoother experience having it done and just going to the printer right afterwards instead of having to wait for it?
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's better for the consumer, I feel like, instead of being like, oh, when is my comic going to come? A lot of people get comics, they forgot they backed because it was so early in production when they backed it that kind of thing never even occurred to them and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think it's a little easier. It's a little harder, I guess, if you're producing the comic and stuff like that. For instance, like issue 5, we're going to have, you know, some characters from this campaign, you know, backers will be characters in issue 5.
So I love that so much.
It's super fun, but it's like, so Danielle hasn't really started issue 5 yet because we're kind of waiting to see who the backers are and stuff. And like, you know, he might like do page 1 or 2, but like I like to do a lot of the backer pages early just so I can show the backers. Like, because they're waiting for it and stuff like that. So we'll see. But yeah, that's the only hard problem. But at the same time, I don't know if Daniel wanted a break anyway or whatever. So he's probably enjoying a few weeks off or whatever. So
his interiors their interiors are just so gorgeous, too. I mean, the first time I think I seen you on Twitter, I was just so immersed by like the cover and then the interiors. And then that's when I picked up issue 1, which I mean, I loved it, too. You signed it for me. This was like off of Kickstarter, off your store. And then I started getting involved with your Kickstarter around issue 2, issue 3. So let's kind of break down those comics. I mean, issue one was just like the perfect introduction to this world. It you know, it's just, it gives me so many different influences. We have what it feels like Breaking Bad meets like The Sopranos meets, I mean, so many different like awesome like crime dramas. How did you know, what did you like use as influences when going into issue one?
I would say the biggest influence that really got it going, like that really pieced it all together, was the show Gomorrah out of Italy. And it's just basically kind of like The Wire, but like in Italy, you know what I mean? So you see all these Italian gangsters and stuff like that, mm-hmm. living in like, you know, junk projects and just living that life, and kind of like all the people who have to deal with them and all that kind of stuff. But just seeing that like whole thing, and I've probably told this story before, but basically it's like, you know, that's ancient Rome, you know what I'm saying? So it's like you see all these project buildings on top of ancient Rome. So I was like, you know, what would that be like in like a fantasy setting? You know what I mean? Like say Lord of the Rings, you know, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years later, and there's people like living on top of all these like epic battles that happened in, you know, these other times. So like, yeah, I just figured something like that, you know.
I really love, I mean, Lord of the Rings with like with drugs. It's such an awesome combination of like all these different like fantasy, like races from different fantasies combined into one like utopia. You know, going back to that TV show, did you ever see, you know, Breaking Bad had a Breaking Bad that was like kind of like done in Spanish. It was like a whole different experience. I don't know if you ever watched it, but after
I've heard about it, but yeah, dude, I have not. Yeah,
it's fantastic. So, I mean, dude, right away we get introduced to the Dwarf Father. He is such a badass in himself. Are we allowed to, how much of issue one are we allowed to talk about? Because I don't want to spoil anything you don't want
to. That one's free to download on the campaign page. So if you're listening to this and you never read any Magic Powder, you go to the Kickstarter right now. It's at the very top. There's like a Google Drive link. You just download issue one. So, I mean, that's, you know, basically not even a spoiler at this point because anyone can read it. So I don't think it counts as a spoiler.
I love like in the beginning, issue. You know, how they are like getting, you know, getting the product. And then we have the knights, which I thought was just like a perfect like police force within this world. And oh, man, and people get shot up and then he gets left behind. That capture scene was just so brutal. But it's like it almost didn't matter, you know, because this dude is just so powerful. It doesn't matter where he's at.
It's almost like he might have set it up. You know what I'm saying? So,
you know, I didn't think about that until right now.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole thing. Like, and I think that'll be more clear in issue four, really. But I think, you know, if, you know, just by the way he lives in the dungeons and stuff, it's more of like for show kind of thing. And, you know, you'll see more about that as it gets like clarified. Because eventually he's going to have to leave the dungeons, but that won't be for a while. And when he does leave, there's a whole nother thing that goes into that. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's rules. You can't just leave because, like, it's easy living, right? So it ain't easy leaving.
Yeah,
so we'll
yeah.
see how that goes.
You know, one thing I loved about this introduction too is there's just so many different layers and subplots going on. It felt like, you know, you have the Dwarf Father, then you have the elves going into war. There was a really interesting scene where, you know, the mask comes on. I would normally say the mask goes off, but in this situation, the mask comes on. And I really love the introduction to just some of these key players. Can you give us a little bit about some of those more prominent characters in the series?
Yeah, like right now, you know, you basically get, you know, the Dwarf Father, who's the boss of the dwarves. You got Arana, who's the boss of the goblins. The orc boss is kind of in turmoil most of this first few issues. So, like, the person who is the boss in issue one is not going to be the boss by the time you get to issue four. And then, you know, like you said, a couple elves come to town because they've seen what the Dwarf Father's doing. And they figure this is their chance to kind of, like, get in the game.
And I, you know, I think...
Did I freeze?
You did. Okay, my bad. I thought that was a pause.
I think it's my camera. Oh, wait, here we go. All right. Yeah, my camera's a little janky sometimes. But yeah, so yeah, and then like I said, the elves come, all that stuff. But the main character was just kind of the magic powder itself, the whole game, the city, all this stuff. Like, there isn't really a main character because I don't want anyone to feel like they have plot armor. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if you mess up, you could die at any second. So, like, you know, that's why there's the rest in peace page at the end of every comic. Just to
I love that so
like,
much, dude.
You know. Yeah, like everybody's life is on the line at all times when you're messing with magic powder. So, yeah, that's it. You know what I mean? I want it to feel like it's all dangerous. You never know. Like, okay, it's the Dwarf Father. He's doing his thing. But at the same time, you never know what's going to happen.
So we have a CM Holy Chris Moses stopping in over on Twitch, dropping in some emojis. Thank you for joining us, Chris. It's nice to see you. So, man.
Chris rules. Chris is a backer. Thank you, Chris.
Hey, thank you, Chris. Issue 2 was just as fire, too. We won't spoil a whole lot, but we get introduced to another awesome character in this one. You know, are we allowed to talk about that character, or do you want to kind of keep that under wraps?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we can talk about it. There's a few. There's actually a few characters that issue four, but yeah, oh yeah.
The Hitman. That was one of my favorites. You know, we were talking. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say Fazul, but yeah, exactly. Like the Minotaur Hitman. Like, dude, I don't know. It's a Hit Minotaur, is what I. Hitman, you
know? I love it, and I mean, dude, just everything. The suit, the guitar case. Oh, it was just like the perfect, like Hitman. And we were talking backstage. You said he was kind of a nod to the Professional.
Yeah, definitely a little bit of a Jean Reno kind of thing going on there, and. You know, even like the very first time you see him, he's walking down the street and there's like another guy, another character you see, Breaker, just playing his broken guitar, missing strings, trying to get some money. And that's kind of what inspires him to do the whole case, is he sees the guitar case on the ground in the first scene. And then later on, he gets like a giant, like stand up bass case to hold a freaking minigun. And then, you know, that's how he came up with that idea, in theory. You know what I mean?
So like maybe that's why he tipped him, not for the crappy music he was playing, but because of the idea.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he paid for what he got out of it. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, I love that character. Even that scene, like the very first scene you see him in is a nod to the Professional. And the very first scene you see Jean Reno and he comes and drinks the milk and everything. There's no milk in the scene with the Minotaur and stuff, because I think, you know, who knows if they drink milk. I'm not really sure what Minotaurs are into. Or, you know, at least in that scene I wasn't, but like, we'll see.
That's a really interesting thing. I mean, would Minotaur, you know, what would their diet consist of? That's an interesting question. I never really thought to consider that.
Big fan of water, I guess.
Things just get hot in issue two as well. I mean, I loved, you know, the guitar case, you know, what happens, what erupts from that. And just the twists and turns. Breaker's another interesting character. I feel like, you know, there are so many characters that don't have plot armor. They each in their own feel like almost like a small minor protagonist. But Breaker's like the character that kind of intertwines. It's like the thread that kind of sews them all together. And I love how you were able to use that character to kind of like get a lot of this exposition or a lot of the action going in a lot of these issues.
Yeah, and that's just one of those things, too. I feel like that's another, I guess it's kind of inspired by Watchmen, where you'd keep seeing the newspaper stand guy in the background, kind of, you know, just kind of doing his thing. And so, you know, he's more of like almost like a background character that you see around. But I also wanted a character that wasn't like a gangster and stuff like that, that people could relate to. And then also, you know, in issue four, you'll see that he's not exactly like, you know, a virtuous character either, you know what I mean? He's just another scumbag in the mix too, you know? So
yeah.
when you see him on the cover of issue one looking all evil and stuff, and you're like, why does this guy look like that? You'll see later on, really right off the bat, if you go on the Kickstarter for issue four, you'll see what I'm talking about. But yeah, he's there's more layers to him than just a happy go lucky guy. So.
And then speaking of the plot armor, issue three is a big capitalized on that. You know, I just loved how you really started that issue off and how it ended. We won't spoil anything, but it just gets so wild and raw. I love how the forces that are, you know, pitted against each other are starting to kind of like piece things together in their own sense. Like how you know, we've seen the hammer just used as a big misdirection in the beginning, and just how it like really acted as like a catalyst to like just start this like total warfare. I loved how like not only do you like layer this drama like just so perfectly, but like you're not afraid to like splatter in blood, splatter in brains. You know, people die and they die in a graphic manner.
Yeah, I know, like I feel like a big part of the indie comic community is the horror comics. So Magic Powder isn't a horror comic, but I do want to feature horror elements sometimes, especially gore and things like that, because I think, you know, that's a big part of what, you know, people like in comics. So yeah, I don't know. I think that's a big part of it. So yeah, there's not a lot of other like R-rated things going on, but there will be tons of just insane kinds of kills and stuff like that. Like, you know, there's some that, you know, won't be as graphic and stuff, and like, we'll see how it goes. But for the most part, yeah, it's going down in the Thez, you know what I'm saying?
So, I mean, you had a coloring book that is just so gorgeous, because these interiors, you know, black and white are just beautiful to color yourselves. Are we going to see a coloring book for issues three and four?
I'm not sure what the plan is yet with future coloring books, but yeah, I have a lot of like black and white, you know, I can turn it basically any page into black and white and stuff like that. At the time when I did the first coloring book, Daniel was doing a lot more character concepts early on in the process of making the comics. So I had those. I don't have a lot of those really for the newer characters, but yeah, eventually I'm sure I will do another coloring book. And then also, like, my friend, you know, Estrella Sadie on Twitter, she just got like a 3D printer and has been printing, trying to print Breaker out the last couple of days.
Oh,
so,
dude.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool. So I don't know what even the plan is with that, but
that's so
there's
going to
be some little magic powder minis out there. So just like random stuff like that. So yeah, it's fun. Yeah, the coloring book for now, that's volume one of the coloring book. Yeah, I do want to do another one. I'm not sure which cover will be the cover of the coloring book because I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Matt Harding's going to finish coloring our variant, the GTA variant. And so that might be a little bit of a catalyst for future things too, because I really love how that's coming out already in black and white. So I can't wait to see how it looks in color.
You know, maybe hot take, but I thought GTA 4 was probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah. I mean, it's like, how do you pick a favorite really? But like, yeah, that was the one. And then it had GTA Online, but it wasn't what it is now, you know? So it was like, you know, there was that cops and robbers yep. mode. There was like that, just everybody's in a gang in the middle of the hood and like you're rolling up on people's stoops and shooting them mode.
Yep.
Like that kind of stuff was super fun. The car driving wasn't easy, so like people couldn't just get away from you. It's like it was definitely a lot more, you know, gritty than GTA 5 ended up being. And even like the world is a lot more alive and stuff like that. So yeah, I was a big fan of GTA 4 as well.
And you know, just the story and the twist when your girlfriend turned out to be the fucking feds. I was just so floored. I was like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, Nico got played, man. Like, it just sucks for him. And then, you know, yeah. And it's one of those games where you get to make a choice of who you save and stuff like that. So that's always kind of cool.
You know,
but overall. Oh, I was going to say it even had great DLCs, but what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if maybe the fact that they were trying to balance so many protagonists in the fifth one, maybe that's what kind of like took away from it. The DLC, the Ballad of Gay Tony is, in my opinion, one of the best DLCs. I love what they did. They, you know, you had an introduction of new vehicles, new weapons, new tanks. Dude, and the character was intertwined in four. I love how they intertwined the DLC. You know, dude, awesome. What was it? Johnny's DLC, the Lost,
yeah, the
in,
Lost
Dam,
in the Dam.
It was badass.
And that was
too.
Like during the time when like Sons of Anarchy was huge, you know? Mm-hmm. So like they capitalized on that perfectly. And
he got punked so bad in actually, the fifth one though, dude.
Trevor, oh man, they made him such a punk, dude. Yeah, they made him a meth head and they killed him in about 2 seconds. Like, yeah, so much for that guy. But that's you know, very magic powder way to handle it. So I support that.
Absolutely. We have Dr. Hino 419. Hello, everyone. GTA 4 is the best. Absolutely. You just came in at the best time. Now, back to magic powder, though. What's it like doing it? Like, have you kind of delved into, like, what doing this drug is like?
It just depends how you do it. You know what I mean? Because, like, you know, some people, you might snort it. Some people probably, like, melt it down and shoot it. You know, you mm-hmm. can also roll it up and smoke it. Like, there's all kinds of things to do with it. But, yeah, so far, I don't want to show exactly what the effects are or how, like, you know, Breaker uses it. But yeah, eventually there'll be like a whole issue I think I'm going to do where it's just like through the eyes of someone on magic powder.
So talking about the high part, how addictive is this substance? I mean, in a world where this is just running rampant, like, you know, what are the citizens like, you know, when they do it? Is it like heroin where they do it once and they're chasing that dragon? Or is it kind of like, you know, like where they could just like use it every now and then and not get hooked?
Yeah, I would say it's super risky to take it, and that's why it's banned everywhere except the city, Fez. You know, that's why every character that lives there has a lot of, you know, they're willing to risk their lives over it and mm-hmm. stuff like that. I don't know. Can you hear my mic, or is it just my
yes,
camera?
Yes, yes. So if you want to go ahead and you can leave it like that and then send me an image, I can, like, actually paste that image in that square, if that would be easier for you.
No, that shouldn't be a problem. I think I'll fix it in, like, 2 seconds here. I guess I can't really restart it, huh? But anyway, yeah, it doesn't matter. I will do the image thing like you said.
Okay, you can leave and come back if you want. I mean, it's our interview, so I could you know, edit this out post-production.
No, we're good. Don't even worry about it. I'm just like, this thing's just so annoying sometimes. Like, I don't know why it's like that. And then, but as far as like the addiction aspects of magic powder, super addictive. It's one of those things. And like how you use it probably makes it more addictive and stuff like that. But you'll see a character in issue 4 who actually doesn't get high with magic powder, who uses it for the magical substances. Like, there's another Ooh. Sorcerer introduced, because there's not a lot of people who know how to do sorcery in the comic yet. First you've seen Ja, and now you're going to see this character, and then there's another character you're going to see issue 6, but it's been mentioned already. If you read issue 1, this character has been mentioned, and then that's pretty much it. Like, there's not a whole lot of sorcery going on. It's kind of like one of those things like Game of Thrones where no one had seen dragons or something like that. Like, no one's ever seen anyone really use magic powder for magic. It's like a joke, kind of. Like, they call it that because it's just like, you know, just some. But that's the beauty
of
drug.
That's the beauty of this whole entire series. That is like it's perfect that you say that, because that is the beauty of this entire series. I don't want to spoil anything, guys, but you need to dive in. Issue one is for free. We'll be checking out that Kickstarter here in just a few seconds. CM Holy saying spoilers about GTA 4, and then Dr. Hino 419. How did you come up with the idea?
Yeah,
of
when you said the GTA 4 ending, I was like, oh no. Someone's gonna get mad about that. What was the question?
How did you come up with the idea of this story?
I mean, first time I came up with anything, I think I was sitting, you know, at my computer probably around 2018-ish, and I came up with the idea of like an elf hitman on a plane with a sword next to him and all that, which is a shot in, I think it's page 12 of Magic Powder issue 1. And from then on, it was just like one of these things. I'm like, how am I going to do it? I think I was heavily inspired by Shadowrun. I played that a lot as a kid. I loved the Genesis version. And like another thing, like I said earlier, Gamora was a big inspiration, stuff like that. But Game of Thrones getting canceled, or not even getting canceled, but like ending really horribly and feeling like there had to be some kind of like dark fantasy adult kind of thing. And that kind of had to fill that hole. So I thought maybe Magic Powder could be cool for that. And then, you know, there's just so many things that inspired it. But basically just sitting there during the pandemic and watching all these like great shows and stuff, I'm like, how the hell can I make up my own interesting take on the crime genre? And I was like, well, I guess I can create my own world and have the crimes take place there. So that's how it came up. And the name Magic Powder, I don't even really know. Like, I don't remember exactly when I came up with the name, but, you know, I think it's a good
perfect,
name. It's catchy.
Though, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like, it works. I get a lot of compliments on the name just from people who don't even know what I'm talking. Like, I'm just like telling people, oh, you do a comic? What's it called? And I'm like, you know, it's called Magic Powder. And then they're like, oh, you know, like it's a, so at least got that going for it. The Rest in Peace page, I don't even know when I came up with that. It all came up before the first issue. That's all I was, you know, I'm happy I got lucky with the good ideas before I started. So I don't really know, you know, where it all came across the line, but it was like a 3-4 year process putting it all together.
Dr. Hino 419, I feel where you're coming from. I can relate. Yeah, and I think it's interesting that you focused on the samurai elf. Like, that was like such a striking like image. He's such a badass too. Like, such a badass character. Sandwiches 1620 over on Twitch. I watched Lord of the Rings on acid. That would be such a wild experience. I'm curious which one though. I think depending on which one would like be like which type of trip it would be, right?
No, totally. Actually, I seen No Country for Old Men on shrooms on Thanksgiving.
Oh my God.
For the first time too. Like, it was the first time I'd seen it. I hadn't read the book yet. And yeah, that was, but that's like basically my favorite experience ever at a movie theater. Like, that was the coolest. Like, cause that's probably the best movie I've ever seen in theaters. Plus I was on shrooms. Like, it was great. It wasn't like my first time doing shrooms either. Mm-hmm. So like, it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't like I took a whole eighth or anything, but yeah, it was great.
So I remember one time I tripped and watched, I think it was Hostel or something. It was like a movie. I forgot because it was just like late at night and I was flipping on cable and I just got like, you know, sucked into it.
I
know, dude. And I had the worst experience. Like, I like delved into myself, like had like a spiritual awakening about like what I would do in this. Dude, it was wild. It was wild.
I've seen that movie probably as sober as I've seen any movie, and I still remember just being like, what the
Achilles.
Yeah,
man.
That was a good, that's like a very memorable, like now that you say that, like, oh yeah, I still remember how I felt seeing that the first time. But yeah, that's not a movie you should watch. I don't know at all, really. No one needs that in their head, really.
Yeah.
That's like torture porn or something. Don't watch that crap. Watch something funner than that.
Let's get back to something a little bit funner, and let's talk a little bit about, you know, this volume one of Magic Powder. You had, you know, that was the first time you did things overseas, but you had an awesome report in there too that explored a little bit more of this world. You know, what was kind of involved in that report?
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea of that is basically just that you can't get enough exposition out in the panels. So I figured, you know, do what, Watchmen does and just add a bunch of, you know, backstory in the back of the book. So that's what we were doing there. But I wanted to tie it to a character. So in issue 4, you're going to find out who's writing the Thez report and stuff like that. Like, it's not just something that's coming out of midair, you know what I mean? Although kind of is when you think about how they're doing it, but you'll figure it out. But yeah,
I love the little Easter eggs and hints there, man. I love it.
Yeah. Like, yeah, when I came up with the idea for Thez report, like, I don't know that I knew it was going to link this way perfectly, but then I was like, you know, as I was writing it, I was like, how would anyone even be able to write this report? And I was like, oh, duh. And so then it all tied together. But yeah, it's pretty perfect. And then that's pretty much what issue 4 is about, is finding out who writes the Thez report, and that person kind of, giving the information all the rest of the Fez and letting them know who these elves are and stuff like that. That's basically what issue four is about.
It's wild how ideas and inspirations come to you like that, right? Like how you created that and then it just dawned on you like how you were connected. I think that is so interesting.
Yeah, and that's kind of the fun of like writing it over months at a time. Like, so Danielle does the issues, you know, it could take from anywhere from 5 to 6 months, whatever. So in that time, I can work on the script for the next issue. Even if it's done, I could just do it again, or I'll come up with a new scene or a new character, whatever. Even last night, I actually added a new panel to issue 5 because someone backed a character reward. And it's someone who's already in issue 4 as a background character, but they wanted to be a speaking character and they want to be the same character. So I was like, you know, I don't want them to just force them into one of these scenes I already had. But I was like, there's actually a scene that they would fit in where they're not, you know, out of the blue kind of thing. So that was cool. And so, yeah, it's just like one of those things, like it's ever evolving kind of thing. It's almost like, you know, until you print it, it's not official in my mind. So I'm always editing it. Like when Danielle's done, I go through it again, look at all the dialogue. Sometimes I bother him like, hey, you want to change this for me? You want to change this for me? Like, so, yeah, it's just one of those things where it's advantageous not to be in a rush while I put it out because I can put, you know, more ideas into it, more time.
Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and pull up the Kickstarter for issue 4 and see what all the hype is about. So if you go here, you can download issue 1 for free. So you get a free comic just going to the link. You have nothing to lose doing that. So this is your sixth Kickstarter. How are you feeling so far? You know, it seems like you're a Kickstarter champ at this point.
I'll feel a lot better when we get to 100%. I'll tell you that right now. You know, I'm feeling pretty good. Last night before I went to bed, we lost like a big backer, like someone that backed in the same day. So I don't know what happened there, but you know, that was a bummer. And then right before I went to bed, you know, someone backed like our biggest tier. So that put us back up and you know, that felt good. But right now,
what a mixed bag of emotions, dude.
Yeah, it's a lot to deal with, man. It's a never ending thing, man. So what do we got? 11 days left. So we're about 80, pushing at 80, we're 78%, I think.
And
so,
did you mentioned you're about 107 backers from hitting a new backer goal?
Yeah, our record right now for issue 3 was 347. So wow. If we hit 348, that's our new record. So I don't know. We'll celebrate that somehow with like some kind of freebie, you know what I mean? Like we got to hit that. So that'd be fun. That'd be a stretch goal. Because like, I don't know, like the money stretch goals are down there at the bottom and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. I'm not really too worried about that. But if we do hit our freaking new backer record, I will definitely have to come up with some. Because the original stretch goal is just like a sticker. Putting the Fez report in the physical copy, which I haven't done yet, other than in the volume 1. So issue 4 is probably going to have the Fez report in the back. And then I think that's all for stretch goals that I can remember. It's at the bottom of the page, yeah. But I haven't really been focused on those because I'm trying to get to that 100% goal still.
And then everyone watching right again, right at the top, you click that link I put in chat and you can read issue 1 for free and see if you like it. I think that's an awesome thing to do. This cover is gorgeous. One thing that I've always loved about your series is just how gorgeous these covers are. Can we give a shout out to the cover artist?
Yeah, that's Samuel Awunzi, and he's Shia the Artist on Instagram and Twitter. And he's awesome. He's done some other stuff. Like, I don't know what he did before Magic Powder, but since Magic Powder's come out, he's done like Tights comics, all kinds of stuff. So yeah, just follow him. He's just great. And you know, like the inspiration between the difference in art between the cover and the actual interior art is from the Punisher War journals. Like I was reading mm-hmm. those, and like it was like really photorealistic covers of the Punisher, and then the actual interior art was very comic. So I felt like it'd be fun to have like, you know, something like this where like Samuel's basically doing like fine art pieces of cover, and then the inside is the comic art, which is it's its own kind of fine art, obviously. Like Danielle's amazing, and like even just his backgrounds alone, but yeah, it's great. And they both color it themselves and stuff, my bad. And they both color it themselves and everything like that. And then even Matt Harding, who does our variant covers, he also colors his covers himself and stuff like that. So they're all great. They do all their own inks and everything like that. My sister's the one who puts the graphics on there, and she's the one who made the Magic Powder logo. So that's why like there's two Schillers on it. It's just not mm-hmm. my name twice, you know what I'm saying? It's like my sister's name is the other Schiller. So yeah,
so this is your friend who backed, right? And was a character in the comic.
Yeah, that's my buddy Jason. And then actually on the top, the goblin up top in the red shirt on the same cover, that's my buddy Matt right there.
That's so cool.
And so yeah, like, you know, and I've known those guys since 2004 or 2005-ish, you know,
mm-hmm.
basically like, oh, I probably know Matt longer than that because I think I met him in gym class. Like, he's like a year younger than me in high school. And then Jason, I think he's the same age as them, but we didn't go to the same school. I think he went to Cimarron. We went to Centennial, bro. But yeah, it's just funny. Like, but those are like, you know, some of my old friends. And like, you know, they love the comic. They got a band and stuff. So like, you know, they're kind of like in there. So it was just fun to put them in. And then like, you know, the two girls, the goblin and the dwarf in the middle, they're kind of based on like Slater Kinney, like that band a little bit. Like, not really how they look, but just the idea. Like, that's where the concept kind of came from for them. And then the character behind the Seeker right there, they're the one that's making the Fez report. So you're going to find out how that's going down.
You know, I was about to say, you know, there has to be something going on with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And like, originally I had an idea, like, basically she would have like a big noodle strainer on her head, kind of looking like the Weapon X helmet, like gigantic like that. And then Danielle thought it would be better to do like the suction cup, Strange Days kind of thing. And, you know, really that was the better idea. You can see the hair and stuff like that. It wouldn't work on the cover, the helmet that I had in mind. Like, it would not work on this cover. So it's a good thing Danielle switched that. Cause yeah, we had a little bit of a discussion about that. I'm like, what's with the new thing and stuff? And he's like, you know, this just works better. And like, it does.
That's why you always listen to the artist, right? You always listen to them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got to credit him, all that stuff. You got to let him know. Like, yeah, Danielle's the man. So like, I'm lucky, you know, he knows what he's doing way better than I do, I feel like.
And then, so for everyone that's watching this on the Keepin' It Geekly side, you had the opportunity to see some of these interiors on an image slideshow, but everyone else, this is the first time we're kind of taking a look at this. So let's kind of like dive into these a little bit and check out some of these interiors. We have Dr. Hino 419. I'm liking what I'm seeing. It's a great series to dive into. So we have, you know, our man Breaker right here eating at the diner. You know, who's these two interesting characters right here at the door, though?
Okay, so that's they're two detectives that work, you know, they're not knights. They're, you know, inspectors and stuff. But they work in the same kind of precinct as the Fez Knights. But they are basically, you know, the Dwarf Father's detective henchmen. And they're out here just about to, you know, break Breaker's balls a little bit. And so everyone on this page, besides Breaker and the Seeker, everyone else, and that actually this goblin waitress, you know, taking the orders, those three characters are the only characters that are not backers. So everyone else on this page is a backer, like the Elf family.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, Elf family is my buddy Kurt. Then we got, you know, Grim Knuckle back there. He's the Seeker's orc partner. Ten is the goblin with the pink hair. We got Will, he's the orc with the ball, you know, and sitting next to Breaker. And then the dwarf is this lady, Angela, who's one of our cool backers. Angela rules. That's her grandfather or her dad, I forget right now. But yeah, so she wanted to have him in the comic because you know, he loves comic books and stuff like that. So she wanted to like surprise him with like character in a comic book. So yeah, that was really cool. So like, that was last issue. Or that was last campaign to get into this issue, because the art's already done for the issue that you're already backing. So it's for the next issue when you get a backer. And if you back a character, if it's a background character, you're definitely going to see them in this comic. But if it's a speaking character, you'll probably see them in more than one issue. Like, I try to make sure everyone gets to, you know, gets their money's worth, because you might only be in one panel the first issue you're in. But then like, you'll show up again in the story. But that's also my way of hooking people to have to keep coming back.
Yeah. We have Dan Price over on YouTube. What's up, Cody and Jeff? Good to catch the show. Thank you for joining us, Dan. Dang. It's always a pleasure to see you. Hope everything's going good on your end.
Baby.
Yeah, yeah. Another great series. So right here we have our man Breaker losing his sandwich. Never a good thing when your food is just ripped from your hands. And another interesting scene right here too. I love just how gorgeous this whole like background looks.
Yeah, and it's all like, I wanted it to be a little wider because I wanted like a certain car to be driving by at the time, but it just didn't fit the panel. So we'll have to work that in later on. But yeah, man, the colors, like the way Daniel colors is amazing. And like, originally when I seen his work and stuff, he's like, yeah, I could color, but I don't really, you know how you feel about it. And he showed me a couple pieces of his coloring and stuff. I was like, yeah, it's cool, man. Don't worry about it. But then when he actually showed me the first colored page of Magic Powder, I was like, holy crap, bro. Like, you know, you can totally color, like I don't know why you had any doubts.
His expressions too, it, you know, he kind of feels like the Jesse Pinkman of of Magic Powder almost.
Okay, I could see that totally. I never really thought of him as that. I thought of him more as like Bubbles from The Wire.
Okay,
but yeah, Pinkman, you know, that kind of thing. It's just like one of those things. He's like supposed to be like a relatable kind of guy.
In like El Camino, like Pinkman, you know, like not yeah, beginning like, Breaking yeah. Bad, like
yeah, not Chili Powder freaking Pinkman, but yeah.
You know what's crazy too? His actor, what, Aaron Paul, used to do like bubblegum commercials. So he wasn't well known until Breaking Bad. At least I think. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, leave a comment down below, guys.
No, you're probably right. He probably was a child actor. I can see that. And then like, he was great in BoJack too. I thought he was really good in BoJack Horseman.
That's right. So. Yeah, he's a voice actor. He plays what, the dog?
Or no, he plays Todd. He plays Todd.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, Mr. Peanut Butter is Paul F. Tompkins, who's amazing.
I love the dog. I love the dog so much.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite character. Is Mr. Peanut Butter. He's just so stupid. Even though he's like a jerk, he's like funny jerk.
I love this this page in particular. How everything is so dark and the color palettes are like so like dark and grim. But then right here, you have like this little flashback. This is such a gorgeous scene right here. And then him holding up the magic powder. I love it.
Yeah, and that's true, too. Like you said, it's such a dark scene, and then the magic powder just blings in the air right there. But yeah, this is like the scene where you find out Breaker's kind of a rat, you know, like a snitch. Mm-hmm. So he'll do anything to get magic powder, even like sell out his own friends and things like that. So, you know, this is where you find out, you know, he's not exactly the cool guy. But like you said, that's a Pinkman aspect of him, I guess. You know what I mean? You can't trust Jesse Pinkman.
And this detective looks so, you know, distinctive. Like, what did you draw from when creating him?
Wait, say that again? It cut out a little bit.
The detective looks just so distinctive, like his features and everything. What did you draw from when creating his character?
Really, it was, you know, I just told Danielle I wanted a old school looking detective, kind of based on like L.A. Noir a little bit, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And then, you know, he came up with like the whole mustache and stuff. Like I knew I wanted him to be a goblin and things, and I wanted him to be kind of short. But yeah, everything else.
The
like,
mustache
he picked
the
sells
face it. And stuff.
Yeah, I love the little mustache. Like if I cut mine a little bit off, like it would be like that one. But like, yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, and that one's cool because like a lot of the times I will send him like I want it to look like Fat Clemenza or I want it to look like this guy or mm-hmm. what, you know what I mean. But that one isn't one of the ones I picked. So like Dwarf Father, a lot of the first issue characters he picked all the faces for, and then also there he's the one that picked the face. And the Minotaur, obviously, like that was all him. Like I didn't be like make it look like a Minotaur that looks like Jean Reno or something like that, you know. I was just like just make a Minotaur.
So this is a pretty powerful meeting we have going on right here. I mean, but it's kind of dangerous too. I haven't read issue 4, but I've read all of the other issues. Like why would she like agree to come here? It seems like a death sentence almost, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know what I mean? It's like, at this point, she kind of figured out what's going on. Like, at the end of issue 3, she's talking to the orc boss, Oz, and she's basically, he's talking about stuff that's happening, and she's, you know, figuring out what's going on while he's just kind of babbling. And that's when she realizes that this idiot doesn't even know what he's doing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so she's, like, basically coming over here to punk him. So, like, you know, she's not scared at all.
Because that's the thing, like, yeah. he was trying to punk them. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, kind of like it was more like he was trying to trick someone else like off island kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it ended up fucking up because the other elves came and just threw the whole wrench in the plans. So like, you know, none of this stuff went to plan, you know. So now everyone's trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
So is this that car you were talking about earlier?
Which car?
That you said you wanted that you wanted the scene to be wider so you can include a car in the background.
No. It was going to be like a long kind of con kind of thing. Like you'd notice like 20 issues. If we ever get to like issue 50, it's like that car's been in the background since.
I gotcha.
You know, like something like that. But yeah, no, it's not there yet. Or maybe it'll be that one that's over there, like near the Fort Rock or whatever. So Fort Rock itself so is based on a place called the Alamo in Vegas. Is a practice mm-hmm. place called the Alamo. And it looks like the Alamo, you know. So like this is like kind of a basis on that. There's no Alamo in Thez, so it couldn't be called that. So Fort Rock is just kind of like an old fort from like Civil War times, and it's a practice place. So yeah, that's where the idea came for that.
We have a little jam session, some magic powder, some cash, you know, typical Good Friday night, it looks like.
Yeah, and I don't know if we have the names on the equipment back there, so it looks like they're pink instead of orange, so maybe the brand is pink on that instead of orange. Yeah.
I love that. That is so awesome. Right here was another powerful image, too. We have her finally removing the mask. I was talking to you backstage, like, you know, for a couple of issues, she kept that mask on. Do you want to maybe talk a little bit about the significance of that, or is that spoiler?
I mean, the reason she takes off the mask here is basically just because she wants to smoke a cigarette. And she's been, it's kind of like to show how long they've been talking, but also like the mask does have like a reason, like why she wears it and stuff like that. And it's not really to conceal her identity to the people she's talking to, but there's like, you know, magical elements of the mask that make it impossible to use basically like a sightseeing spell. So like you can't see through her eyes or anyone in a certain vicinity of that mask because of the properties of the mask. So that's why she wears it. It was inherited from a family member and, you know, it's been passed down from generation to generation, that kind of thing. So like not so much that they even believe in magic anymore, but just in case. And she knows that that one elf sorcerer that they work with does exist. So that's a big reason why she wears it.
And then right here we have a stakeout, and I am just loving this so much, like how detailed these interiors are. And like you said, the colors, the corridors are just next level. Like it seems like whenever the detectives are on the scene, it's just darker and bleaker. Was that intended?
I think mostly it's just because they're outside at nighttime, you know what I mean? So it's like that's a big part of it. Like when you see them in the first scene, it's lit well and stuff like that. So, but yeah, mostly it's just because they're outside. And then actually it gets darker. Like where they go, it does get darker. But yeah, that is kind of on purpose, especially like at the end, because I wanted it to be like kind of like a detective noir kind of, you know, issue, that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. you kind of get a little bit of like uncertainty and stuff like that, especially following like page 8. When we get to 250 backers, what are we at? 241. So we're 9 backers away. When we get to 250, I will put page 8 on the Kickstarter so everyone gets a preview of that, just so I can unleash another page on everybody.
I like which, that.
Yeah, and let's keep going.
We have the magic powder for Grand Theft Auto. A tribute cover. This is so awesome, dude. I love this so much.
Yeah, Matt nailed it. I hit him up probably like, I don't know, a little two months ago, a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I was like, yo, you have any room to do a cover? And he's like, I don't know, you know, this and that. He's like, I'm pretty busy with commissions and stuff, but maybe I could fit it in. And I told him the idea, the Grand Theft Auto idea. And then he was like, oh, yeah, I could do
yeah,
that.
I'll make it work.
Yeah. He's like, that'll work. And then, so yeah, tomorrow night, he's going to stream on Twitch, him coloring it. So we'll have the finished colored version tomorrow for everybody, so hopefully that'll like hook a few more people and we'll mm-hmm. get this you know, this thing funded. But yeah, I'm really a big fan of that. I can't wait to get my copy of the Magic Powder Grand Theft Auto cover. So like, yeah, like so if anybody else wants it, feel free. So far I think about 45 people or so are getting that, as opposed to like over 100 people are getting the regular one. But I think once it's colored, it'll draw more people mm-hmm. in, and they'll understand like how great it's gonna be.
Dude, you gotta get like maybe a- Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say maybe some people just don't like GTA or whatever, but and Sam's work is great, so I understand that. But you can get both; you don't have to just get one.
You know? Yeah, yeah. So. And dude, you gotta do an Easter egg in like issue 5 where Breaker gets called up. It's like, you want to go bowling, cousin? Like,
oh man, and that's the thing. Like, yeah, I gotta work bowling into it, and like you said, with Roman and everything, like that's hilarious. But I don't know if Breaker even has a freaking phone, that broke mofo. And then, but there will be a, I think in issue 6. I'm going to have a like a detectorist kind of shout out for Breaker. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what's up. But issue 5, I think, is his like his arc, you know what I mean? Like, cause he's kind of mm-hmm. got like an arc in this, this first arc. So like, yeah, you'll see. Cause like now he's a snitch. So now you're going to see how he reacts to having to do that kind of thing in Ooh. Issue 5.
So right here are some of the rewards. Let's go through it, guys. And if you're watching, right here is a link so you can go through it with us. Once again, if you can't back, we totally get that. But if you can, you know, we would love to see that. It is New Comic Book Day, and make sure the newest book you pick up is Magic Powder Issue 4. So we have digital package at $3. Holy crap, that is cheap. That
is- You know, I try to make it fair, you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things. I know some people charge a lot more than $3 for their first issue or one, you know, but it's like one issue. I don't want to charge more than freaking DC's charging, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
And then we have the double digital package, so you can get the regular issue 4 in black and white at $5, $2 more, outstanding price. Print those pages out and color them until you can get that coloring book, you know?
Heck yeah. Yeah, and then post it so I can see you color it. I want to see that.
Then the physical package at $8, the digital catch-up package at $12. So that's going to include issues 1 through 3, volume 1, and then issue 4. Dude, these prices are just outrageous, Jeff. Holy crap, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why it takes a while for us to fund, you know what I mean? Because I don't really overcharge, like, you know, but it's just, you know, I want as many backers as we can get to. I want as many readers as possible. So I try to make it as cheap as possible for people to get it, you know? I mean, I think we will fund, so there's no reason to charge more.
We have the variant cover at $13, the physical catch-up package at $23. How many pages would you say that is for issues 1, 2, 3, and 4?
Yeah, I mean, counting the Fez reports and everything, it's probably close to 130 pages.
Wow. For $23, that's one hell of a bang for your buck. We have issues over on YouTube. Sell your blood, sell your children, get these books. I got to agree. Make it happen, you know, get these books today. Big shout out to We Have Issues, guys. If you aren't subscribed to them, make sure to drop a sub. It's 100% free to do that as well. We have Friend of the Family Package at 25. Give us a little bit about what this package is about.
So the Friend of the Family Package is kind of like a nod to, like, you know, things like Goodfellas or Sopranos, mm-hmm. like when you know, like they're not in the mafia, but that's like a friend of ours, you know, that kind of thing. So it's like that kind of joke. And like, that's how you get your name on the thank you page. And you also get both physical covers. So you get the variant and you get Sam's cover. And that's it, you know, really. And then you can add, like, if you wanted to be the friend of the family and you also want volume one, you can get that too. Like, it's one of the add-ons and stuff.
And then we have the full boat at $40. You can get pretty much everything listed. This seems like it's one hell of a bang for your buck. Volume one, trade paperback, physical, name on the thank you, bookmark, double sticker pack, the coloring book, and then three classic stickers as well. The $100, be a background character. Awesome price on this. And then a lot of these characters, like, they are doing like pretty big stuff in the interiors or in the issues that I've noticed so far. Like, this guy's a pretty prominent character in the last couple of issues I've seen.
Yeah, and Jason's one of those ones where he originally backed it for a background character and he changed it to a speaking character. So now he's like a little bit more featured and stuff like that. But also, he just came out so good, I had to use him again. Like, mm-hmm. Like the way, like, Danielle drew his beard, I was like, damn. And like, when I showed it to Jason, he was so stoked. Like, and I think tattoo. His Instagram, I think, is that picture and stuff. Like, a few people have used like their default pictures as their magic powder people. Like Will, who's the orc on the first page of issue four, that's like his Twitter mm-hmm. default and stuff like that. So it's cool, like, people are actually like enjoying the art and stuff like that.
And then at $200, be a speaking character as well. So awesome price for that. What type of speaking role can they expect?
So right now, what do we got? Two left. So if you're going to be one of the speaking characters that are left, you're going to be basically a goblin, like, bodyguard type character, like a goblin enforcer. And you're going to be, it's kind of like a Pulp Fiction scenario where, like, you're going to be the Vincent or Jules, you know what I mean, of goblins.
So, say like, what? Yeah, but one more time.
You know what I mean? So, like, that's who you'll be. And you'll be in issue 5 and issue 6 if you back a speaking character. Because, like, right now there's, like, four characters. But, like I said, I added the fifth character for 10 because, you know, she just doesn't – I don't want her character to be, like, a gangster character. I didn't feel mm-hmm. like it felt, like, right. So I just made her character more of, like, a regular, not drug addict. This is probably the only speaking character that's not a criminal – so that'll be fun.
And then we have the add-ons too. So for $1, you can get the bookmark. This is an awesome shot too.
Yeah, I love the bookmark. Here's the bookmark right here.
Here, hold on, let me zoom in a little.
Oh yeah, here we go.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I love this thing. And then, like, on the back, it's like, you know, getmagicpowder.com or the magic powder, mm-hmm. Twitter and stuff. Yeah, my sister designed it off of one of the pages on issue one that Danielle did. So it's Danielle's art and Raven's work on the graphic design. And yeah, it came out great. Like, I love having freaking, and they're good, like, cards too, like almost like business cards. Like, you know, mm-hmm. boom, there you go, boom, boom. So, which I, you know, it's fun.
And then your sticker game is so fire too, man. I'm jealous of your merch.
And that's just, you know, Raven taking Danielle's art again and doing the graphic design work on that, and it just comes out great. Last issue we had Phil Apley had made a cool piece of art for, like, us. So we made that into a sticker. And we also used Matt Harding's Fazul cover as a sticker. So mm-hmm. we've used a few different artists' art so far to, you know, make the stickers. And then Raven just, you know, makes it happen. And we print them and they look good. Those two of Arana and the dwarf Fat Clemenza with the drill, those are huge stickers. I feel like they're, like, as, you know, as big as my freaking hand. So mm-hmm. like, yeah, they're a little bigger than all the other ones we've printed so far.
I was gonna say, I had some stickers right here. I have these two, the friend of the family sticker. I have the other ones, I think, stuck everywhere. I try not to use them, but dude, these stickers look so good, I had to.
Yeah, and I, you know, that's the thing, I want people to always, like, use them just so they can show me where they stick it and stuff like that. It's fun, you know. So it's it's always goofy, but you gotta love it.
And then the goals, you know, at 6,000 fully funded, at 6,600 free sticker for physical backers, at 72 extended issue 4. And then that's going to have the Thez report, you said?
Yep, that's the plan there. But like I said, I'm going to probably just, even if we don't reach that money, that, you know, that goal money-wise, as long as we reach our backer goal, I'll make that happen anyway, you know.
And then at 8,000, the free variant C cover for physical backers. So some awesome tiers here, man.
That would be awesome if we actually got. I mean, I don't think we'll hit that far. We've never hit our last stretch goal ever, so that would be another first. So I'm down. But like I said, right now I just want to fund and just breathe a little bit, you know, get a little sleep.
Yeah. Nice. You know, take a nice day off without stressing, looking at the computer, pulling up the phone. Jeff, so for anyone who might be on the fence about backing, what would you like to say to them to kind of help push them off that?
Yeah, first of all, I would say, you know, just read issue one, and if that ain't for you, then I guess it ain't it, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want people to buy it just because they feel, like, obligated or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the whole brilliance of getting to offer a free issue now. Like, when we were at issue one, I couldn't just be like, here's free issue one. Although, I guess I could have. It wasn't done yet when we did the Kickstarter. Now, it's better to be a little ahead of the game. But, yeah, so I would say that, you know, I would say, you know, a lot of people aren't really sometimes into magic, or, like, they say gun comics aren't good, stuff like that. I wouldn't call this a gun comic. I'd say there are guns in the comic, but it's not like the action isn't focused on that. I would say there's a lot more of a political game going on than just like a bunch of nonsense drug addict stuff. And I don't know. I would just say if you like things like Dungeons & Dragons, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, The Sopranos, The Wire, Breaking Bad, Grand Theft Auto, like any of that kind of stuff.
I feel a little Casino too. I don't know if I'm wrong.
Oh yeah, anything Scorsese or Tarantino, yeah. Like, you know, I mean, even Desperado is an influence. Like, even like you said, like with like Fazul is based on a little bit of The Professional, but also a little bit of El Mariachi because he has the giant, you know, case of guns and stuff like that. So. Yeah, I mean, it's all just basically anything cool that's ever existed that you've seen in your lifetime. If you like that, you'll probably like Magic Powder. That's all I'm saying.
I love it. I love it. So, Jeff, you've been on the show. You know, we always end this part of the show off strong. I mean, what's next for you in 2023? I heard a rumor of some extra projects. You know, we talked backstage. You wouldn't let me get anything out of you. I mean, what are you working on, man? Give us something.
All right. So, there's always been a little Magic Powder video game in production. So we got that going on. Me and my buddy Chris Michael, who's that dark elf you just seen as one of the commissioned characters that's in the book. So that's my buddy Chris. He's great at everything. So he's doing the coding on that. So, I mean, he doesn't have a lot of free time in between work and stuff. So we're not very far with the Magic Powder right now. But Danielle has done some art for the Magic Powder video game. If you go to my Instagram, or maybe even just type in like Jeff video game on my profile on Twitter, you'll see the pictures of like some of the concept art for the game and stuff. It's a prequel. It's before the Dwarf Father is the Dwarf Father and stuff like that. It's probably going to be a little bit like Hotline Miami-esque kind of game.
That's
a little
so top cool. Down. I'm sold.
Yeah, because I love that game and I love games like that. And like I said, Shadowrun was a top-down shooter, which is a big influence.
That's how old-school GTA was too, right? Like the very first.
And then also the London one, if you count that. So the three, mm-hmm. I guess, even though that's kind of like a DLC. That might be like the first DLC ever, the London GTA.
Yeah, yeah. Because Sonic and Knuckles, you had to put...
Yeah, you just put the cartridge in the cartridge, yeah. That's brilliant. Oh, man, I love Sega. I love Sega Channel. I'm so mad that Dreamcast bombed because I love Dreamcast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that whole thing. But yeah, so also we're working on a project, me and another fellow Jeff, Full Sam, I believe is how you pronounce his name. And so I just got to get the script to him, and then he's going to just start pumping out pages for a new project I got going on in the Magic Powder universe, but not anywhere connected to the actual story of Magic Powder. At least not like none of these characters will ever be able to meet, put it that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like it'll be a different genre. Like, you know, Magic Powder is a crime fantasy. This will be more like a Western fantasy.
Ooh. I love it, man. That's so cool. Like cowboys, like Western, or
yeah, exactly like that. Cause, yeah, I'm a big fan of that genre. Like, if you ever look on Amazon, you can look me up. I have some unproduced screenplays I released as self-published books, and the last one I released was a Western like horror I had conceived of and stuff like that. But like, yeah, so this comic I have coming up, yeah, it's gonna be wild because it's not gonna take place in the American West. You know what I mean? It's gonna take place in a whole different fantasy like thing. So, and you know, you'll see the dragons, like, because you know we mentioned dragons in Magic Powder issue one, but we haven't shown dragons yet. So by the end of issue six, you will see a dragon in Magic Powder, and then also the dragons are a big part of the other story I have going on. But I don't know, you have to see Danielle's dragon before I can have anyone else do a dragon in the universe. You know what I mean? So I can't have dragons coming out too early, so I'm taking my time with it and stuff. But yeah, I'm really excited. There's a lot of great, you know, Western comics coming out right now. Was it Holy West is one. My man Renton Hawkey's got the one, like, it's like a Shogun Samurai meets Western, like spaghetti Western thing, which is great. You know, like, there's a few great Western comics right now in the scene, so I'm happy to just jump on the genre, you know. But I've always wanted to, you know, write, like I said, Westerns and stuff like that. I'm a big fan of everything from like Unforgiven, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, you know, Tombstone, stuff like that. There's just so many great
So much awesome content coming out. We have the Buna rating us over on Twitch with 3 viewers. Thank you for stopping in. I definitely appreciate it. We are actually just getting ready to wrap things up. So once again, thank you guys for all joining. For anyone who's in the chat right now, new for the first time, be sure to check out Jeff's Kickstarter right here. No need to back, but if you just go to the Kickstarter, you can read this issue that we're talking about, the first issue, for free. So you get a free comic just for going to that link and hitting it. If you like what you see, I mean, dude, the digital for this was, what, $3 for issue 4?
$3, $12 to catch up with the whole digital package.
And then we have our good friend Stella joining in saying hi and bye, Cody. Well, we still have a little bit of time left, so we're not wrapping up completely, but I just wanted to let you guys all know while you just joined. So, Jeff, I mean, for anyone who is doing a Kickstarter and just kind of going through the stress of running one, you know, like maybe they're having a hard time, you know, looking, you know, stopping looking at their phone and screen. Maybe they're just getting eaten, you know, just by that number. Would be something you would offer them to kind of help them be less stressed about it, like to kind of just deal with it in like a healthy way?
I don't know that I'm the one to go to for healthy
he's like advice. Once I figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know, because like it's kind of all consuming to me. I mean, I am able to get other stuff done during it, but I would say, you know, I don't know if this is even really like that kind of advice, but I would say that, you know, don't buy into the whole like, oh, every campaign just has, you know, plateaus and stuff like that. Like if you really are out there on social media and you're looking up other people who back Kickstarters and following them and commenting them, it's like you can really grind out some backers. Like that's how you do it sometimes. Like at least that's how I do it sometimes. Like, so I don't know, I would say, you know, if you are like me and are doing it in a healthy way, there's ways to keep it going.
I think that is really good advice though. I mean, take a look at what isn't hitting and figure out a way to make it hit. Figure out a way to come across that bridge and overcome it. You know, like if you're just having a bad day, just calling it a bad day is a lot different than figuring out why it was a bad day and how to make tomorrow a better day.
Yeah, and you know, stuff like cross promotions, like that's a big thing. Like hit up other Kickstarters and just be like, hey, do you want to shout me out an update? I'll shout you out an update, stuff like that. That helps a lot. Like it'll let you see if people are interested in your project, I think, because with Magic Powder, I think a lot of backers come from other campaigns, and it's just because those people, they're like, hey, check this out. And those people are already on Kickstarter, so like, all right, I'll check it out. And then I think it actually hooks them, you know what I mean? Like Daniel's art's like that, you know, Sam's art's like that, Matt, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, I would say, you know, do everything you can to get Kickstarter customers to look at your thing. You know what I mean? Like go on Twitter or Instagram, go to people who actually back Kickstarters and try to get them to look at you. Like not just anybody on social media even wants to use Kickstarter. So you basically, you know, want to look at their base, you know? So that's a big thing for me on Twitter. Like I type in a search bar, like just, I backed, you know, just put in, I just backed.
That is
like a
so
thing.
Smart, dude.
And I just follow everybody. And then, you know, some of them follow me back, some of them don't. Some of them literally, the second I follow them, go straight to my Kickstarter. And then, you know what I mean? Like, that's one of the ways I do it.
That feels like the FBI is just going to be like, boom, 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 boom. Jeff, are you giving out Kickstarter secrets like this? Like, that's like a cheat code, man. I love
and
it.
Yeah, that's my big one. I don't know if I've ever told anybody about it. You know, my dad knows about it because he's sitting watching me do it. But like, yeah, that's the way to go, man. I don't know. I would say use TweetDeck so you can have multiple search things open all the time, stuff like that. Like Magic Powder. Like anyone types in the word Magic Powder, I see it, stuff like that. Like, and a lot of the times it's something to do with like some kind of shoe powder or something. I don't know. There's some other kind of Magic Powder out there trying to get on my game, but we got a copywritten, you know. Yeah, so it's cool, but yeah, like it's no big deal. And but yeah, I would say that kind of stuff, like, you know, that's the thing. Like even like, say, here's another thing that I do. So say someone's retweeted a Kickstarter campaign on your timeline, right? So now you click on that guy's Kickstarter tweet and you look at who retweeted that guy's Kickstarter retweet, right? You just start following those people because they, first of all, they were people who retweet Kickstarter campaigns, and second of all, they are, you know, they're interested in seeing, you know, that kind of stuff. So that's the kind of people you want to follow, not just some random person. Like, I mean, those people come in handy too sometimes. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of people who back Kickstarter, my Magic Powder Kickstarters, who never back anything before. So that happens too. You know what I mean? You get a little bit of everything. You just can't go one way. There's a million ways to do it. Like I know some people say they launch a Kickstarter campaign and they don't even look at it until it's done. And I'm like, well,
how?
That is not the most, that's not the most effective way to get backers. That's all I'm going to say. You know what I mean? It might fund, but you would have done better if you promoted like a psycho like I do.
We got CM Holy over on YouTube now. Thank you for switching platforms. Always appreciate that. Stealing that Kickstarter secret. I told you. Jeff's like, I don't know if I got a good one. Then comes out with just pure gold. I think that's probably one of the best ones we've heard in a long time, dude. Like, you know, because it's something you don't think about? Like, you just get on there and tweet. Sometimes it's, you know, well, a lot of people probably just get on there and just mindlessly tweet. But the fact that you're out there, you're targeting your demographic in a way that most people don't even think about. Genius, man.
I mean, even for instance, like I have a search bar for Shadowrun. It's just anyone who types in the word Shadowrun, which is a very, you know, obscure thing.
My man loves
that
game so much.
But I'm saying, but if you like Shadowrun, it's like, it's a game where it's like, you know, gangster dwarves, gangster orcs, you know, I mean, it's cyberpunk, so it's a little different than Magic Powder, but that's a big influence on. So like if someone sees that and, you know, that they're going to like this if they like that, that's kind of the whole thing. So yeah, those kinds of people who are, you know, and Shadowrun doesn't have a lot of content either. So those people are kind of starved for it. So I definitely look for those kind, you know, it's just those kinds of things you got to look for. You know, New Comic Book Day, that hashtag, go follow those people. You see conventions going on, even if it's a convention not anywhere near you, just follow that hashtag. Start following the people at that convention. Like, these are people who spend money on comic books. So that's who you want following you.
Dude, this, like I said, this feels just like one of the biggest cheat codes that has just been hidden. It's like when a developer puts it in a game and 16 years later, someone discovers it. Like, I feel like you just unleashed some gold. So some awesome advice there, Jeff. I mean, outside of creating, what are you consuming? Video games, comics, you know, TV shows, movies. Like, what have you been up to lately?
I don't want to talk about some things like the Rangers playoff failure, but I've been playing. I got that special edition Derek Jeter MLB The Show that I play nonstop pretty much nowadays. And inside there, I have the Miller's Crossing Blu-ray. Gotta love that.
Hey, it's better than just leaving it on the desk. I'm a big victim of that, and or a big person who does that. And everyone will be like, "What are you doing with that game? That's how you scratch it up."
No, totally. And then I got Sekiro over here because, you know, you got to rip them from soft games. I think I'm going to run through Demon's Souls. I tried it a little before Elden Ring came out and I didn't finish it. And so now I want to go through it again. Now that I've done Sorcery and Elden Ring, because all the other games, I always went around like big ass sword or like
or
you
big
know,
hammer.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, a little hammer action, you know, sometimes a shield. Like in Dark Souls 1, I was a big shield guy. But yeah, so like, you know, I want to do Demon's Souls. What else? Barry, dude. If you're not watching Barry, watch Barry. Barry's
dude,
great.
You know what's funny? So I started Bloodborne. That was my big jump into.
Yeah, I know. I watched you do some Bloodborne. Yeah,
And dude, like that. After I played that, I didn't use shields. I didn't use a shield until Dark Souls 3. And by that time, you know, I was
molded. That's the wrong time to do it. So check this out. I played Bloodborne offline. That was the first FromSoft game I ever played. Like, I didn't have PS Plus at the time, so I had to play it offline. I didn't even know all the cool stuff that goes on online. So I'm just playing Bloodborne, you know, ignorant to any of that stuff. I just had Red Berserk and stuff, and I wanted to play Dark Souls, but I didn't have it. I had a PS Plus version of Bloodborne. So, you know, I ran through that game really fast. You know, like everyone said, oh, it's so hard, blah, blah, blah. And like that very first, like entering Yharnam and stuff was a pain in the ass. Don't get me wrong. I was probably stuck there forever. But once I got past that, like I whooped, you know, Gascony and all these other guys, and who is it, like Amygdala or whatever, I beat that on the first try. Like I felt like a badass. I think that was like one of the first like bosses. Like who is it, Bloodstarved Beast was a little bit tricky, but once I figured out like the roll, like to the left and all that, that was when it was over for the rest of the bosses.
Did you do the DLC?
Yeah, oh man, the DLC was insane. But I went back for the DLC after I did
Orphan
Dark Souls.
Orphan of Kos made me squeeze out my touchpad in a PS4 controller. I remember, because that was back when I was a spiraling alcoholic and I would just stream Bloodborne for 8 hours a day, drunk as fuck. And I would just be so mad because I would just be stuck on this boss. Because when I first started playing, I wasn't good at Soulsborne games. Like that, and I would just play 8 hours a day just dying to the same boss until I got through it. And like, I just remember I squeezed it. It was a Star Wars controller too. It was the Darth Vader edition one. And I squeezed it so hard, it just shot out. My girlfriend's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's when you had to figure it out. Yeah, that's, Jesus, that sounds brutal. Yeah, like I played most of those games, you know, a little bit bonged up, you know, ripped in that, but I never drunk really. I don't think I would be very good at FromSoft if I was drinking. But like I said, with Bloodborne, I didn't even know there was like, you could call in friends. I didn't know there was like blood stains. I didn't know there was invaders. You know what I mean? Like all that stuff. Like I went to watch my sister play when I was like almost done with the game. And I seen all this crap going on her screen.
How'd you do that?
Yeah, like, what am I missing? So then, yeah, Dark Souls 1 I did after Bloodborne like you, but I went straight to the shield in that one. I don't know why. And I beat, like, one of those Dark Knight, like, Black Knights, and he dropped the Great Sword, the Berserk fucking sword. So
that's the best one.
Used, yeah, the whole game. I just ran with that and a shield, and I was like, let's go.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. We got to get down on gaming. Demon Souls, I did a level 71 Soul Samurai build. Look into it. It's one of the best ones because the way you attack and it regenerates your mana, and then you just like shoot up the homing arrows. They're always called something different, but like, dude, so you invade someone, they come up to you, you do your bow if you're proper, and then you just shoot them up, and then it one shots them. And if it doesn't, you just roll forward and boom, and they're dead. It's perfect. But with that being said, I think it is time for us to wrap up, Jeff. As always, this was one hell of a sit down for everyone watching. If you are watching this on the Joffrey Cody stuff, check it out on the Keeping It Geekly stuff. It's animated, it's moving, we have interiors flash, and it's almost a little bit better of an experience. Feel free to sub to it. It's free to do that. We are close to 900 subscribers, and we're building one hell of an awesome Gundam kit when we hit that. That being said, it's time for us to wrap up. I hope you all have a lovely Wednesday, but most importantly, keep it geekly.